I was going to try to teach this, but I decided it probably wasn't going to work out. And so, y'all pray for me. This is not anything new, but it's something that maybe we need to be reminded of, or maybe just somebody needs to hear it. As I give this discourse, the enemy, I want you to know, enemy fights me on a lot of things, but I know that I didn't come up with it myself, and so I know it's from the Lord, and so I'm just looking forward to do what God has desired for it to do, and I'm just asking for y'all to pray for me. The title of this discourse would be A Tree or Trees of Righteousness. And most of our reading will be done in Psalms 1, and then I'll go to Matthew 13. The main thrust of this message, though, is how to become a tree of righteousness. We are children of the Most High God, and God is desiring for us to not just be saved or barely be saved, but he wants us to be strong in him and in the power of his might. And so as I was doing a little gardening, I don't do a lot. I don't like gardening. The bugs don't like me. I don't like bending all over. It's a whole thing. But as I was doing some gardening, the Lord started talking to me, and he took me to Psalms 1 and 1 through 3. And so that's the main thrust of this discourse. And then we'll go to Matthew 13 and 7 and talk about some threats, or a specific threat to becoming those trees, becoming those trees of righteousness as God would want us to be. Again, pray for us this afternoon. Psalms 1 and 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And so that first verse, it talks about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And you, as a Christian person, you may feel like that's a no-brainer. And you may feel like you've got that locked down and it's easy for you, but that may be true. And then again, we have to have the Bible says, be careful for nothing. And so we have to be watchful, careful, and prayerful, because we have friends, we have loved ones, we have literature, we have all these different avenues that the enemy would like to come in and advise us and counsel us on something. Amen. All right? And so sometimes we talked about this morning about King Asa and how his very mother, she had the idol, and he had to deal with her about the idol and get rid of that idol. Sometimes our close family members and our loved ones, they want to counsel us or advise us on things. And because of the dynamics of the relationship, we don't want to be rude. We don't want to be disrespectful. We want to be kind. And so sometimes in the interest of that, we're listening to something that is having an effect on us. And then we're dealing from that standpoint, and it's not pleasing unto God. So we want to become trees of righteousness. And so we need to be careful about what we allow into our system, into the foundation, what we're feeding on, what is being implanted, if you will, in our hearts and in our minds, so that we become healthy trees of righteousness. A tree doesn't start out as a tree. Do you agree? Right. It starts out as a little small, little baby, fragile little plant. And so the enemy wants to come in and he wants to hinder that process. And we'll talk about that. But I want you to think about the counsel that you're getting, the counsel that you're giving. The Lord talked to me about the counsel that I give. I need to be careful that the things that I say and I do when somebody come to me trying to get something from the Lord for their journey, I want to make sure that it's in agreement with the Word of God. That it's from God, and that it will be effective in helping them deal and work with whatever it is that they need. May the Lord help us. So be careful about the counsel that you get. Be careful that the counsel that you're giving. So walk it not in the counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't stand in the way of sinner. How can a Christian, my question is, how can a Christian stand in the way of sinners? A Christian. All right. Somebody go to song number 249 in our books. I believe it might be the second verse. But we can stand in the way of sinners and not even know it. All right. It says here, what does it say in song number 249? Are you adorning the doctrine, verse number 2, and making attractive the way? Honoring Christ by your actions and by the words that you say. Do you know that you and I, if we're not careful, we can stand in the way of sinners by just, we're saved and we want to go to heaven, but our attitude, our outlook, our mindset, the words that come out of our mouth, not only concerning living for the Lord, but maybe I got to go to church again. I don't really feel like doing that. I got to pray again. I got to read again. I'm going to do it, but my attitude about it is I'm putting a poor taste. It doesn't do anything to me because I know it's right and I'm going to live right, but it's doing something to somebody else because they're watching and they're looking on. Yes. And so it's our responsibility to from the heart, have a relationship with God. God said he's a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Pray for us. He also said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. And so when we are doing these kinds of things, the very love of God is going to bubble over when we're doing the things that God would have us to do. And those that are looking on, that's attractive to them. They see that you love the Lord and that you're enjoying your Christian experience. And so then they want something like what you have. And so if we're not careful, we can stand in the way of sinners by having the wrong type of attitudes. We can be murmuring and complaining. We can be talking about how hard it is to live for the Lord. And we can effectively make unattractive the way of Christ. May the Lord help us. So we need to, by the help of the Lord, do all that we can to live in a way that shows that Christianity is a good thing. I'm enjoying my relationship with the Lord. I want to have that kind of, the closer I get to him, the better my relationship is, the more I'm going to get out of it. It's kind of like a husband going to work and talking about how bad his wife is or vice versa. You're putting a bad taste in other people's mouth, and it's not good. And so may the Lord help us. All right, so it says, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. A lot of people may not talk about God himself, but they'll talk about the people of God. And I'm warning right now, and I'm counseling people away from that. Amen. All right? Anybody that is endeavoring to live for the Lord, even has a profession. Sometimes a person that has a profession doesn't look like they have a possession, but they really do. Right. They just haven't got to the place where you can recognize it and you can understand it. But if they're in good standing with God, if God is working and dealing with them, then it is not my desire or my job to talk about them, to talk down upon them. All right. It is wrong to, scornful is a feeling or expression of contempt. I don't like that brother over there. I don't like that sister. Something about them. They just, you see, a feeling or expression of contempt, disdain, deep disrespect towards someone or something, often accompanied by mocking or sneering. Scorn people, we can scorn people, the people of God. As a matter of fact, it's just not good to scorn people in general. It's a bad idea. And so the Bible says if we're going to be trees of righteousness in verse number 3, we want to be staying away from those things. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't make unattractive the way, doesn't talk down about the things of God and how hard it is and how difficult it is to be saved. All right? And then it doesn't scorn not only God, but the people of God. All right? And then it says, in verse number 2, it tells us what we should do. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm encouraging the people of God this afternoon to spend time in the Word of God. First of all, how do you know what's in there if you hadn't spent time in the Word of God? You might be fighting a battle or dealing with something that the Word of God already has addressed, has an answer and a solution to your problem. You got the victory right there, and you hadn't even looked in the Word of God in order to find out what it is. All right? And so we want to be not only reading the Word of God, but meditating on it. Now, I'm not lifting myself up, but I'm finding as the more we stick with the Lord, not just myself, but people of God, the Word of God is in your heart and it's in your mind. It applies to the things that you see and you do. You have a running conversation, an open-ended conversation with God and He with you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to meditate or spend time on it. Don't just check the box in terms of reading it in the morning and at night or whatever time you read it, but spend some time in it. Get to know what God has for it out of those scriptures for that day, and then meditate on it. Let it embolden and strengthen and empower you throughout the day. May the Lord help us. You want to have a good day? Get in that Word and get something from the Lord. The Lord will put something on you according to what you're going to face that day. Amen. He'll give it to you in the morning. Yes. He said, you're going to need some patience today. You're going to need some wisdom today. He'll point you to something, and then you'll find out through the day that scripture that the Lord put on you, it applies to what you're going through. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get it, Lord. I'm going to have it. By the help of the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. All right, and it says here in verse number 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I think about the rivers of water as a permanent source of what is needed. He's already implanted into the ground, and he's getting the nutrients and the resources, but you can't go without water. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so that tree is by that river of water. It's getting all its nutrients. It's getting the water, and it's going to bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We want people, and so we're talking about this in general because that's what God gave us. But we're also talking about this from the standpoint of, if I want to be like what it's talking about in Psalms 1, there are some things that are required of me to do. There are some things that are required of me not to do. And then and when I do that, then I can expect to grow up into a strong tree. The song we have is a pillar in the church of God, a strong tree of righteousness that somebody can come to and get some fruit of righteousness from. They can get some shade sometimes. They can get some whatever it is that they need from us. We can be that for them because we are in that place that God wants us to be. All right. And not only that, once we've gotten to the place where the Lord has begun to work and bless us, we've got some strength a little bit. So when the wind comes in and when the difficult storms of life come in, maybe you were used to being sometimes, we don't be in as much as we used to. Now we're straight and we're strong and we stand firm in these difficult times of life. So when somebody is looking on, they say, I want to be like that brother. I want to be like that sister. That's what we want in terms of for ourselves. And not only that, we want to be someone that is able to help assist others that are coming along. I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. A tree, when you see it in a new tree, a little baby tree, they look like nothing, like a little piece of nothing more than another plant, a little baby plant. That's what they look like. And they are very easily, you can uproot them very easily. If you're not careful how you handle them, they'll get sick and die. And so we want trees of righteousness. And so the Lord wants us to be able to know how to deal with these newly saved. We need to know how to deal with these folks that are struggling and feeble and looking very ordinary, not much to look at. We want us, Lord, help us to see that as a new tree of righteousness, and it is going to grow into something strong and powerful for your kingdom. That's the way we want to see that. So we want to be careful how we talk to them, how we deal with them, how we work with them. We need to be very careful with that, because you're looking at the future of the church. Yeah. All right. And you want it to be strong. Yeah. May the Lord help us. All right. The other portion, and Lord, help me to get through this. What we want is we want these trees of righteousness. Let's go to Matthew 13:7. That's the other reading that I have that the Lord gave me. I was in my garden, and flower bed. So I'm in my flower bed and I'm doing some weeding, and I started noticing something. At first I was just kind of mindlessly doing it, and they were coming up pretty easy, most of them, and then some of them, they weren't coming up as easy. And I said, I wonder about that. So I started paying attention to what I was doing. And what I noticed was there was little trees and little plants. And there was two things that I noticed. One was the weeds, I don't know how they do this, but they like to get right up underneath that plant. Right up underneath it. If you're not careful, you won't even see it. I'm looking at, I don't see well, but I see that well. And I'm looking right at the plant, and I'm getting weeds from around it. But right next to it, I about missed that thing. And so I said, why is it that this weed is so close to the base of this plant? And the Lord started talking to me. Matthew 13:7, it says, and some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. So what's happening is those weeds, those thorny, undesirable plants, they are number one competing with the nutrients and the soil. They're competing with, they're trying to take, they're almost parasitic in nature. They're trying to take from what you desire to grow and be strong. And so I started thinking about how the devil is. He's slick and sly. So what he'll do is he will try to implant something. A lot of those undesirables, they look very similar or almost the same as the plant it is that you want. Right. Now, I don't even know how that got to be the devil there. Yeah. That has to be the devil. Yeah. Right. Because you're looking at it and you can't hardly see it. And you start thinking, you say, you know what? This thing started under the ground too. And so it has a seed as well. Well, what it's wanting to do, the Bible says it wants to choke the word. Little children, young men, young women, young people of God, may the Lord help us all the way up into the seasoned saint. Yeah. Be careful about what you are allowing to grow in your spiritual garden. Yeah. May the Lord help us. Yeah. That harmless looking plant is going to grow up into something that is thorny, something that is competing for the nutrients of God's word, that is going to, if it can't kill you, it'll make the way difficult for you to be successful. It says some sprung up and choked the word. And so the plant is trying to live and is trying to grow and trying to thrive. And it can't grow and thrive because there's something else that is stealing from what it is that God would have you to have. And so people of God, all I have here is be careful about what you are involving yourself in, where you're getting your nutrients from, what you are allowing to grow in your life along with the Word of God. Sometimes the enemy, and I've seen him do it many times, he'll try to do it with me and you. This music is pretty good. It's not bad. I mean, it's not bad, is it? You see? I'm giving examples. I don't know what you're listening to. I don't need to know what you listen to. I'm telling you that there's a Holy Spirit that's going to warn you away from that book that you would read, that show that you might want to watch, that conversation. The Bible says, be not deceived. Take this very seriously. Evil communication corrupt good manners. All right? And so when I'm taking in the Word of God, I'm taking in the truth of God's Word, and I'm attempting to hide it in my heart, but also and likewise, there's something else that's attempting to come in right along with it, and the Bible says it chokes it. It begins to steal the nutrients. It begins to kill what is true and what is right and what is good. What you notice is many times, when a person is start backsliding, what ends up happening is there is something that is competing for God's affection in their life. Right. And what ends up happening is what you'll first see, it become difficult to come to service. Yep. Secondarily, your reading and your prayer life will become a little spotty. Yep. You're on dangerous ground. What's happening is, and so what that thorny thing is something that initially it looks safe, but it's going to grow up into something that is very difficult, stay with me, to pluck up and pull out. Why? Because when you grab it, the thorn starts sticking you. So you don't want to pull it out. You see? The best thing to do is to get your gospel gloves on and your gospel goggles. Sometimes you need your goggles when you're out there with them bugs. And you go in there and you say, Lord, what is it that you want me to pull out of this thing? Let me yank this thing out while it's easy, while it hadn't taken root and got very strong before it grew up into something that is thorny and prickly and it's hard to separate because it's so close to the original plant itself. Sometimes they even intertwine with the plant. So you're trying to snip around and pull something out and may even damage the plant that you're trying to save. May the Lord help us. This is what the Lord gave us. And so I want to encourage you to be careful of the thorns. What we want, again, is trees of righteousness, trees of goodness. Trees that God can look at and be pleased with. Trees that when somebody come and they attempt to take, like the brother said, some fruit from the tree, they get something that is of God, something that is good for them. All right? If not, if we got the thorns too close to the plant, they might end up getting a thorn instead of the fruit. You understand? May the Lord help us. May he stand and by and be with us. Get your gospel gloves out. Saints of God, take a look at if you need to. Again, I'm not in nobody's home. I don't. Here's the thing about me. If you know me, I don't want to know and I don't know. I don't need to know. Unless God make it clear and plain to me that you need to go talk to this individual about this problem, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm not. If I'm going, I want to know that the Lord has gone before me, the Lord is with me, and then even if they don't receive it, it wasn't on my end. I did something wrong. It was of the Lord. You understand?
Yeah.
And so this is why this message is coming. I don't know who needs it. I don't know what they need it for. I just know that that's what God gave it to me.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into my life. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want any thorns. I don't want any seemingly, and this is something that he told me too. He said, some stuff looks harmless. It really does. But it's not what it looked like is what the problem. Some of those weeds, they don't have thorns on them. Okay? What they have is an abundance. You understand? First, it's one little weed, one little plant. Next thing you know, it's a huge, huge plant that brought all of its buddies with it. And now you can hardly get the nutrients you need because it's taken over. May the Lord help us. And so I start looking into my life, and I'm still doing that. Lord, search me. Help me to see if there's something else that is trying to coexist with this tree of righteousness that you're trying to make me into. And then I'm asking you, Lord, to deal deep down in my heart. Go in, Lord, with your scythe or whatever it is that you need. Dig in and dig under and dig around whatever need to be dug out, Lord. And when you do, take those things out, cast it into the fire and burn it up because I don't want it. I have no need for it. Do you know that sometime when you pull out weeds, and I'm going to sit down here now. But when you pull out weeds, sometimes you don't get those weeds far enough away from the plant. You can pull them out and kind of get them a little bit away. And do you know they'll travel and come back? Some of the weeds that you have in your flower beds, what happened is it went from the grass under the concrete and into your flower bed. May the Lord help us. So when we pull those weeds out, when we get rid of them, as the Lord gives us understanding and knowledge, I want you to understand, if your relationship with God is difficult and hard, it's a drudgery like we talked about in Psalms 1:1 and on down through there. If things are difficult, chances are your problem is there's something growing in the garden along with the plant of righteousness, the tree of righteousness. And what it's doing is it's competing for God's place in your life. And it's stealing from the nutrients and the water and the goodness that God has given you, the sunshine he's putting on you. You can't even enjoy the sunshine because it's taking it all. May the Lord help us. And so your relationship with God is a drudgery and a difficulty, and you find yourself murmuring and complaining and no peace and no joy in some kind of way is God's fault, when the whole time there's something in the garden that needs to go. May God help us. I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. It's going to take something for me to be able to do that, because we have a real enemy that we're fighting. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The first portion is what I want you to get a hold of. Be sober, be vigilant. And then the second part, we'll sum it up, is you have an enemy. He's trying to implant something in the garden of righteousness that does not belong there. It'll do you damage. May the Lord help us. Yes. Pray for me.